This morning I've got something to show you. It's not very big, here it is. I don't know how many of you will recognise what that is, and if you can't see it, then maybe Duncan can put it onto the screen for us in a moment or two. It's a Methodist membership ticket, or some people might call it a class ticket. And the history of the class ticket or membership ticket goes back all the way to John Wesley himself. He was the one to introduce class tickets, membership tickets. Let me go back to what I was saying about there being an open-air rally of some sort. Well, Wesley preached in the open air in a lot of in his earlier days. He got a little bit older, and when he came to Penrith on three occasions, he preached down near Marks and Spencer's, Crown Square, you know, where the post office is, you know, that kind of area. He preached in an upper room down the side there. So when he came to town and people responded to the message that he preached, he needed to organise them in some way. The Methodist Church wasn't a separate denomination, of course, at that stage. So you would go to the parish church for communion. He would encourage you to do that. But you would also meet as a group of those that had responded to John Wesley's call. And so he would class you together in bands or groups. And there would be a class leader. John Wesley couldn't be obviously in hundreds of places at the same time, so he would give responsibility for looking after that group of people who had responded to the gospel to a class leader. But there needed to be some kind of record of who was in the group and who wasn't. And so each quarterly then, you would be given your ticket, which showed that you were a member in good standing in a Methodist class or society. In those days, it cost you. You had to pay for that. So you had a subscription to pay, as it were. So you had to make sure that if you were that you were working, that you were getting employment, that you were making enough money in order to pay for your ticket. In those days as well, or by the time we get into the 1800s, this was when you had a communion service, you'd start the service off and there would be a break halfway through. Was this how it was in your day? Not in the 1800s, obviously. I'm not saying that to you folks. But you'd have a break halfway through. And only those who had their class tickets came forward to receive communion in the 1800s. I think we've moved on from that, and we've gone back to John Wesley's idea that communion is a means of grace, and that everybody, it's an open table now. So you do not need to carry your membership ticket, okay, when it's a communion service. So here we have your membership ticket, and a little bit of... It kind of reminds you that you're part of a national movement of something like 188,000 other people have got one of those. And you're one of 188,000. Sometimes as Methodists we think, I alone am left. Oh, little me, you know. You're part of 188,000 other Methodists who would be card-carrying members, as it were. So, let me just stop for a moment and ask you, what do you do with yours? Where's yours? Where do you keep yours? Maybe you keep it in with your credit cards, in your purse, and it's there in your purse or your wallet. Or maybe you use it as a bookmark in your prayer handbook or your Bible, or maybe you put it up with a magnet somewhere in the kitchen or something like that. I don't know. And there could well be people who are here today who are looking very blankly at me and say, I've never seen one of those things in my life. What is that? So if you've not had one, There could be a number of reasons why. It could be that the person who should give it to you, that is your pastoral contact, your pastoral visitor, has got a stack of them somewhere in her or his drawer somewhere, and they have failed in their task of giving you your membership ticket. It could be. It happens. If so, if you know who it is who should be your pastoral visitor, and you haven't had one since, well, they came out in this church in January, so if you've not had one this calendar year, go and chase your pastoral visitor up and say, "Where's mine?" And they'll say, "Oh, you're not on my list anymore, you're somebody else's." So, if you get no joy, come back to me. Is that a deal? And I'll chase it up for you and find out where your ticket is. It could be that you were given it and you just simply don't know what you've done with it, of course. Or it could be that you've never taken the step of becoming a full member of the Methodist Church. And if you're not a full member of the Methodist Church, again, maybe you want to see me and explain why not, okay? So there could be some reasons why you haven't got your ticket, but please do follow it up. Like I say, we distribute them to the pastoral visitors. Tim and I sign it. There, on that one's signed. You can't quite see it, maybe. But it is signed. The ticket is signed by either Tim or myself, and then by your pastoral contact, your pastoral visitor. Your pastoral visitor could be the leader of your home group. And maybe it's up to the home group to deliver pastoral care to you. But please be assured that every person in this church at PMC is covered by name by some pastoral contact, whether you are a member or, I hate this word, an adherent. Sounds like you're kind of sticking plaster to the wall, doesn't it? An adherent. Whether you are a full member or not, you should still have a pastoral visitor. And so they will sign it and they will be the person that gives to you. We give them out in January. So the next ticket, 2018-2019, we're still waiting for them to arrive from Methodist Publishing House. They arrive September, October time. Tim and I get some time then to sign each one, nearly 300 signatures, then they're given out in January. Good. Okay. What is on the class ticket? What's on your membership ticket? As it says, then there's the pastoral visitor signed it and myself signed it. Let's turn inside. We'll turn it over, and that's what's in the inside of your ticket. There is always a Bible verse chosen. And so above the bread and the wine, on the left-hand side, thank you, there's a Bible verse. It changes every year. Every year there's a new Bible verse. So there's a Bible verse for the year. And that's chosen by the president of conference for that year. We met the president of conference back in March, didn't we? She came and preached exactly where I'm standing now. Lorraine Meller. So this is Lorraine Meller's Bible verse. She's no longer the president of conference. There's a new president of conference that was elected at conference this year who is now in place. So she, Michaela Youngson, will now be choosing her Bible verse to be printed on the ticket, which you will get in January. Are you still with me? The Bible verse that she chose, do you want to know what it is? It's Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Recognize that verse? Okay. Down the right-hand side of the ticket here, down the right-hand side, is what's called our calling. And I put it here. This was on the window as you came in through the glass house, and it's been there for several weeks. I wonder if you've noticed it. There's another one just in the crush hall as you come in as well. I wonder if you've noticed them as you come in. I'll read it. Our calling. This is what the Methodist Church, a little while ago, maybe not quite as many as 20 years ago, but we've rediscovered it this year. The Methodist Church has rediscovered our calling. And this is what the Methodist Church decided was their mission statement, with a capital M and a capital C, the Methodist Church in this country. This is our mission statement. The calling of the Methodist Church is to respond to the gospel of God's love in Christ and to live out its discipleship in worship and mission. It does this through, and there are then four key areas. I think there's five, really, and they've hidden two together. But the four are worship. Well, that's where we started this morning, isn't it? Learning and caring. That's why they put those two together. Service and evangelism. When you become a member of the Methodist Church, you have things that you can expect from the Methodist Church to give to you. There are certain things that you can expect us to do for you. If you are a member of any group, there are certain things that you will expect to receive from membership or having membership of that group. If you are a member of the National Trust and you've got your sticker on the front of the car, you will expect certain things from that membership. You will expect to be able to use their car parks, for example. You will expect to be able to get into their properties, for example. And if you are a member of the Methodist Church, there are certain things that you can expect from us. I've already talked about pastoral care, okay? But there are also responsibilities that are upon you. There are duties, there are commitments that you make. There are certain things that are expected of you. So it does not come easily. Methodist membership is not something simply to say, yeah, I've got the ticket, there it is, it's sitting in my wallet, in my purse. There are certain things that are expected of you in return. And our calling is your calling. What is it that God is calling you to do? We're at the beginning of a new year. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm 9 days a bit late, but Happy New Year. It's a new academic year, Education Sunday, so we're remembering today those who are in education, whether it's those that teach or work in schools, or those who are learning in schools or universities, apprenticeships. It's the beginning of a new academic year, but it's also the beginning of a Methodist year. I always say that if you see a Pickford's van on the road in August, it's a Methodist minister. And so we remember those who have. It was great to see the new Appleby minister and his wife and children with us at the end of August, and they were worshipping here. That was good to see. A new Methodist year. And here's the commitment again that you make as a Methodist minister at the beginning of this year. Here's the first commitment: worship. As a member of the Methodist Church, I am called to worship within the local church, including regular sharing in Holy Communion and through personal prayer. Are you a worshipper? Are you a worshipper? Do you see what it said in Acts chapter 2? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Are you devoted? It's a strong word, isn't it? Are you devoted to worship? Are you devoted to coming to share together in worship in this place? Worship is about more than simply singing the hymns and praying the prayers and listening to the sermon. Worship is actually a lifestyle. It's about the whole of your life. Whole life worship. Please come next Sunday to listen to Sam and Sarah Hargreaves as they talk about whole life worship. If you want to, you can come on the Saturday up to Beaconside School, and they're leading a day's workshop on whole life worship. Worship is about the whole of our life as we surrender our lives to Jesus, everything that we have and everything that we are. Worship is lifestyle. Worship is decision. It's something that you decide to do. It's not an accident. It's not something, oh, well, I'll worship if somebody leads me into it. Worship leaders. Okay. It's something that you're going to make that decision to do for yourself. So hopefully this morning at 9 o'clock, you said something, whatever the preacher's like this morning, I'm still going to worship. Whether I like the hymns or not, I'm still going to worship. Whether he says the right prayers or not, I'm still going to worship. I'm here to worship. And whatever happens in the next hour, I will worship. It's a decision that you make. And it's a decision to give your whole life. Remember in Romans chapter 12, Paul says, you know, this is the worship that we give. It's the worship of a living sacrifice. I give everything, all that I have and all that I am in worship. Are you prepared to do that? That's the calling that is upon you as a member of the Methodist Church. Are you up for that? The second thing says learning and caring. As a member of the Methodist Church, I am called to learning and caring through Bible study and meeting for fellowship so that I may grow in faith and support others in their discipleship. How are you getting on with that one? Are you learning? Remember I said that it was education someday. Education isn't something that you kind of put aside when you were 16 or 18 or 21, whenever you left school or university and thought, phew, I never have to learn a thing ever again. You're always learning. There's more to learn. And certainly that's true of the Christian faith. There is always more to learn. The other week I was saying, you know, here's a Bible passage that I must have gone through hundreds of times. I must have read this hundreds of times. And yet when I read it, there was something new that I'd never seen before. How's that possible? And so there are always things to learn. Are you a learner? Are you learning? Are you part of a home group? Get yourself part of a home group. As iron sharpens iron, you know, as you talk to one another, as you discuss with other people, other people's viewpoints, and they might actually learn something from you. By not going to a home group, you're actually being quite selfish and depriving other people of your wisdom. And you think, I ain't got any wisdom, me. Okay, but maybe you have. Maybe there's something that you can say that will encourage other people. And it's about learning and caring. Let me come back to something that I hinted at earlier on, that it's maybe your home group leader who is your named pastoral carer. And maybe that's the way that it works, or it should work, that the pastoral care comes first and foremost from your small group. And it's up to the small group to rally around you and support you and care for you when you need that care and that support. What we've got here this morning, by the way, is not church. This isn't church. Church begins with the small group meeting on a Thursday morning, a Wednesday evening, whenever it is. That's church. That's where church is. What we've got this morning is the congregation of the churches. Do you understand that? That this is congregation. This is congregating. The congregation has come together. We've come from our small groups, our churches, that are meeting midweek, and we're meeting as a congregation here. But it's in the small group that you do your learning as you look at the Bible. Of course, you can have your Bible study notes as well, midweek, regular Bible study. You've got your church meeting in the home. Now, Acts chapter 2, they met together in one another's homes, sharing what they had, caring for one another. If anybody was in need, extravagant generosity. They would sell things, even selling the home. I'm thinking, how's that working? You're supposed to be meeting in your home and you've just sold it. Okay. We'll work that one out. We'll meet in somebody else's home if you've sold yours. Okay. Giving to those that were in need. And that leads us on to the next one, which is service. By being a good neighbour in the community, are you that? Challenging injustice, are you doing that? And using my resources to support the church in its mission in the world. How are you getting on serving other people? Serving those that are in need in our community? Maybe supporting the CAP Debt Centre? Maybe supporting the op shop? Maybe giving to the food bank? Lots of ways in which we can be serving our community. Serving the world church. Harvest Sunday's coming up soon and we'll be focusing on the world church. Think about the ways in which you can serve by generously giving and sharing all that you've got. Sharing your time, sharing your energy, sharing your enthusiasm, sharing your money and your gifts and your skills so that the church can do the mission and the work of God. And then one last one. You're called to be an evangelist. How are you getting on with that one? It's very clear. Evangelism. You're called to be an evangelist. And maybe you think, I'll give that job to somebody else. Yeah. Maybe I'll support evangelism by giving some money to an evangelistic organisation. But no, I don't think you can really wriggle out of it. You're called, as a Methodist church member, to evangelism through working out my faith in daily life and sharing Christ with others. Are you doing that? Are you sharing Christ with the people around you? Working out your faith in your daily life. As a Methodist, you're called to be a Methodist 24/7. Not just for an hour on a Sunday and then forget about it, but in your daily life, in wherever you happen to be, whatever it is that you're doing. And sharing your faith with the people that you meet day by day. Who are you going to invite to this year's Alpha course? There's a challenge for you. Maybe if they say, well, I'm not sure, you say, I'll come with you. We'll have a meal together. Come for a meal with me to the Alpha course. And share your faith with the people. So here's your class ticket. I encourage you that if you've not looked at it since you got it first in January or February, put it out again. Have a look at what it says and look at your commitment, at what you have committed yourself to do as a Methodist member. And maybe as you look at the commitment again that you've made, you look at it and you think, I'm not up for that. I can't do that. And maybe you give me your ticket back again, I don't know. But here's the challenge for you today. Look at your ticket and wonder, am I a worshipper? How am I getting on in learning and caring, in serving others, and in sharing my faith with others too? That's your call. God is calling you today. And here's the call. Here is God's calling card.